follow the schedule as we go here. So welcome back, everyone. I'm Wayne, I'm an addict. Welcome back again. This is our sixth session in the series of workshops of 12 traditions. In response to a recent needs assessment we did at Region, we have organized these sessions and allowed to continue to do it once per month to cover each tradition over the course of 12 months. We say that we hope because it depends on how it's received and how it's attended. So tell your friends and home groups, sponsor to join here each month. To us, it is important that we get this thing out there and we do this and continue all through the 12. Let's all do our best not to let that dwindle off. And I kind of moved off of the script here. We plan to be consistent on the fourth Thursday of each month, except for this month and December, due to the holidays. We will be doing it on the third Thursday of that month. So please remember that next month will also be the third, and we will put that out there. I do see that it's on the website, the regional website, and we put it out on social media best we can. Spread it in your meetings. It'd be great. Let's open this meeting with a moment of silence, followed by a serenity prayer. Feel free to unmute if you'd like and join us in the prayer. God, grant me the
Serenity to
to
accept the
accept
things
the
we
things
cannot
I will not
change,
change.
courage to change the things we can,
Change.
and wisdom to know the difference.
Okay. Can I have somebody unmute and read the 12 traditions, please? That's on the screen.
My name's Tonya. I'm an addict.
Thank you, Tonya.
Tonya.
The 12 traditions of NA. We keep what we have only with vigilance. And just as freedom for the individual comes from the 12 steps, so freedom for the group springs from our traditions. As long as the ties that bind us together are stronger than those that would tear us apart, all will be well. One, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends on NA unity. Two, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as he may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. Three, the only requirement for membership is a desire to stop using. Four, each group should be autonomous, except in matters affecting other groups or NA as a whole. Five, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry the message to the addict who still suffers. Six, an NA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the NA name to any related facility or outside enterprise. Lest problems of money, property, or prestige divert us from our primary purpose. Seven, every NA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. Eight, Narcotics Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. Nine, NA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Narcotics Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues. Hence, the NA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, and films. 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all our traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Understanding these traditions comes slowly over a period of time. We pick up information as we talk to members and visit various groups. It usually isn't until we get involved with service that someone points out that personal recovery depends on NA unity, and that unity depends on how well we follow our traditions. The 12 traditions of NA are not negotiable. They are the guidelines that keep our fellowship alive and free. By following these guidelines in our dealings with others and society at large, we avoid many problems. That is not to say that our traditions eliminate all problems. We still have to face difficulties as they arise. Communication problems, differences of opinion, internal controversies, and troubles with the individuals and groups outside the fellowship. However, when we apply these principles, we avoid some of the pitfalls. Many of our problems are like those that our predecessors had to face. Their hard-won experience gave birth to the traditions, and our own experience has shown that these principles are just as valid today as they were when these traditions were formulated. Our traditions protect us from the internal and external forces that could destroy us. They are truly the ties that bind us together. It is only through understanding and application that they work.
Thank you. And if I could have somebody unmute, read the excerpt from the It Works How and Why on the screen here coming. There it is. Anybody like to read that?
Sure, I will.
Thank you.
Maybe. Tradition six, an NA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the NA name to any related facility or outside enterprise. These problems of money, property, or prestige divert us from our primary purpose. Our group meetings provide a forum in which an individual member can share their recovery with one another. The message we carry in our meetings can either enhance our efforts to fulfill our primary purpose or distract us from it. Each of us can play a part in carrying our tradition six by asking ourselves, what do I do? Let's see, what do I do to clarify NA relationships and other organizations? Many of us use a variety of resources in our personal program of recovery and spiritual growth. Not all of them relate directly to NA primary purpose. Do we imply an endorsement of a related facility or outside enterprise when we share in our NA meetings about the good things we found elsewhere? Do we distract other members at the meeting with NA's message of recovery? Give members the wrong impression about Narcotics Anonymous program. No one can answer these questions for us, but by answering these questions for ourselves, we can each help free our group of problems that could divert us from our primary purpose.
Thank you, Rod. Awesome reading
Thanks,
there.
Rod.
And have somebody read, if you can unmute and read the excerpt from Guiding Principles that's up on the screen right now. Anybody interested?
Hey,
Good
Pastor
evening.
Joe. Practicing Tradition 6 has much in common with the practice of Step 10. When we keep an eye on our actions and relationships through the practice of regular inventory, we can recognize our tendency to wander off course before we have gone very far. Each of the motives this tradition mentions that lead us off course, money, property, and prestige, is not a problem until it becomes a problem. But desire for these things can spin out of control when we experience a character defect like insecurity. Tradition six breaks naturally into three parts: the things we should not do, why we should not do those things, and what will happen if we do. Each of the actions we are warned about is a compromise. Each of the reasons is a roadblock. Ultimately, the result is that we lose sight of our purpose. We are diverted. We don't often get diverted by things that are obviously unrelated to NA and our primary purpose. However, when it comes to issues that seem closely aligned with our primary purpose, the lines are not so clear. Treatment clinics, organizations, bureaus, churches, and other programs all try to help the addicts recover. NA is not those other organizations, nor are we the same as any other fellowship. We don't use literature or speakers from outside of NA. Over and over, we check ourselves not only for affiliation, but for the appearance of it. Much of what we do in NA puts us in contact with the world outside our fellowship. We rent space for our meetings. We carry our message into institutions. Often, we are obliged to help big institutions, including governments, to understand what Narcotics Anonymous is and that addicts do recover. In many places, it has been illegal for addicts to meet at all. From our early history to our present-day service in new NA communities, making it possible for addicts to recover means demonstrating that addicts do recover. We are our best evidence. We are examples of our program and examples of our faith in NA when we act on that faith and stand on our principles with neither aggressiveness nor fear. Staying focused on our primary purpose can be very difficult. We know how important it is to carry the message, and it's easy to feel inadequate. In order to practice Tradition 6, we must believe that we have what we need to carry out our purpose. Sometimes that requires creativity, and sometimes it requires patience. When we really get a sense of the power of the NA message and the importance of the action we've taken, our 12th step, the work takes on a kind of urgency that can drive us to cut corners, compromise, or allow ourselves to be taken in by promises. We have too much on the lines and gamble with the NA name. A simple, clear message, delivered honestly and without any confusion or controversy, saves lives. Guiding Principles, Tradition 6. Thanks for letting me serve.
Thanks, Joe.
Thank you, Joe, for reading. All right. This is, the ones that's been here and the ones that haven't, this is a 90-minute session. The way this works, we will have our speaker share their experience on Tradition 6 for about 20 or 30 minutes. After he's done sharing, we will open a meeting for others to share. You can share on your experience, or if you have questions or want to pose to the group, you may also share them and put them in the chat, or you can verbalize it. And somebody else can share their experience, strength, and hope on that. Remember, part of sharing is sharing the time. So please be mindful and keep your sharing about 3 to 5 minutes so we all get an opportunity to share. I don't think we have a problem there. So now we're going to go into our speaker. I usually introduce our speaker. I mean, there's some people that know our speaker today. Anybody interested in introducing him? Okay, I'm Wayne Amanati. So, hey, I'll tell you what, I met Rich is going to be our speaker today, and I met him at Region. I think I've seen him around at some functions prior Region, and he was a facilitator at Region, and I followed behind him and took co-facilitator, and I really gained a lot of respect out of the way he dealt with people and carried himself and the knowledge that he had in Narcotics Anonymous program. I've never heard him share anything of any other program, so that showed me that he had a full Narcotics Anonymous message. And obviously, to me, being a facilitator at the Region, I kind of assumed, but I seen that it was true that he had a working knowledge of the 12 steps, 12 traditions, and the 12 concepts, and was able to utilize them during Region. And so I'm happy Rich stepped in, just so everybody knows. Brad had an issue, and he had to cancel about a little over an hour ago, and I put it out there to Rich, and he had no problem of stepping up. Actually, several was going to, I think, but Rich stepped up, and I appreciate you, Rich. And you got the floor for about 20 or 30 minutes. Thank you.
I'm Rich. I'm an addict. Rich. Thanks for asking me to do this tonight. I think I know just about everybody on the screen. What we just read, what Joe just read there a minute ago, feeling inadequate. I got this. So right about the same time Brad couldn't make it is about when I found out I was being asked to do this a little over an hour ago. I was still on the job at work. you know, and I've been around long enough that it's not that I feel inadequate. I'm unprepared by all means. I would have liked to have done a little bit more reading and try to maybe help myself piece this together a little better. I don't, you know, I'm One of the spiritual principles that is listed, my sponsorship tree is does a Zoom tradition study every Tuesday night at 7 o'clock, and you're all welcome anytime you'd like to join in on that. We've been moving at a pretty good clip. It's taken us 2 years, and we're just barely into tradition six. At the beginning of the chapter, it lists the spiritual principles that they feel like is associated with this, amongst many others, but humility is one of those. And I don't know if anybody else feels this way, but I know that that is a huge part of my program. If I can remain humble and not feel or act like I got this, then I'm practicing humility. And it feels like to me the obvious part of this tradition, how many dozens and hundreds and thousands of times have all of us read those at the beginning of the meeting? The obvious part is a simple part, endorse, finance, or lend the name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest it could divert us from our primary purpose. But as we're getting ready, as we're studying this tradition, it's really been beneficial to all of us, all the ways that this tradition applies to my program, and some of what we just read is connected with that. The way I act, I can act a shit at work, and I could walk in there and I could, if somebody's hungover, I could start preaching to them every day about, I go to NA and I don't have to do that and blah blah blah, and it would really be giving the program a bad name, in my opinion, and piss somebody off. Everybody that I work with is well aware that I'm in recovery. If any of them ever have any questions, and occasionally the one that my boss is about the only one that ever asked me about it, just little bits here and there, and I share with him. I would always be more than willing to help a coworker if they was, curious about how this works, or if they thought they needed it or something like that. But we were just talking about this a couple weeks ago. One of the guys in our tree he had some questions in reference to that, and we was able to explain to him that one of the guys he works with, commented to him that whatever program he's doing and however it works is visible, and it's making him a better person. And he was curious about that, and we all discussed it, and was able to help this younger guy, become aware that he's actually being humble and practicing humility. And that's the way it works, I've been clean a little over, well, I guess a couple months away from 13 years. I've been in service since about 8 months clean. I was only on the streets for a couple months when that happened. And from the very beginning, I've done my best to have the mindset, that I'm willing to take on a commitment and do it for the right reason and not get arrogant and not let my ego get in the way. I've done the very best I can, and I don't know if it's happened or not. You guys looking at from the outside looking in probably be a better judge if you've ever felt like I was taking on a commitment to for prestige or and I hope I haven't. I don't think I have. I try to practice that. Sometimes I might have to have a talk with my sponsor or be willing to listen to how he perceives something I've done or a decision I've made. But for the most part, I've tried to be as humble as possible in all of my commitments and all the work that I do. One of the other things that I have all these, I'm going to read these off real quick. I kind of had it punched up. This is about as much as I had time to prepare tonight. Integrity, faith, harmony, anonymity, humility, awareness, dignity, fidelity, vigilance,
balance, respect, loyalty, confidence, prudence, conviction, and perseverance. In connection with what I was just sharing, you know, I've tried to maintain perseverance. You know, every service commitment I've ever taken on, I hadn't done before. You know, now I have picked up some commitments that I have done before, but the first time I did them, I hadn't done that before. You know, I wasn't sure if I was going to be able to, but I've never lived in the fear that I couldn't complete that task. You know, that's what you guys are here to help me do. And, you know, I've worked hard. Thank you, Wayne, for your comments and propping me up there about being a facilitator. You know, the reason I was able to be a successful facilitator at the region was because I'd been area facilitator for two or three different terms. And, you know, the main reason I've always taken on a new commitment is because I wanted to know how that worked. You know, it's led to great success and advancement in my career, you know, not being afraid to take on a new task. And if I don't know how to do it, I will by the time I'm done, you know, and I'm probably going to make some mistakes along the way with that. But if I'm doing it for those reasons, because I want to learn something, you know, then I'm not doing it for prestige and I'm not doing it for property, you know, and maybe somebody can watch me struggle through some or go through the growing process and learning how to do something. And it can help them have some courage to fulfill something in their own life, you know, or their own program or their own commitment. We spent quite a bit of time on, well, we just this last week, we're barely into this. Just last week, we were talking about dignity and fidelity, you know, and we're being faithful to this program, only this program. You know, we're not blurring the message. That's helping us carry a clear message of Narcotics Anonymous. You know, it's just like any relationship. If you're having fidelity and faithfulness, you know, you're being monogamous to one source, and it isn't any different. And it seems to work well for me. You know, I've of course been witness to, you know, sometimes I'm always willing to share my opinion that there's two kinds of people in the rooms. There's the ones that want to bitch about anything. Not that they're constant bitchers, but they're either, they just want to bitch and don't do nothing, or they're willing to step in like myself to, if I feel like it needs to be different or it could be better, maybe I can do that. You know, it seems to me, my experience has showed that it's, you're one or the other. You're either willing to do some work and donate your time and your resources and invest in this program, man, the return on my investment in this fellowship is huge, you know, and every part of that has helped me in my career. It's helped me in my relationship at home, you know. There was something else I was going to add to that and I forgot it, so I apologize for that. Let me, what else was I going to talk about here? Oh, we were talking about being vigilant. And it's actually, yeah, I'm not reading this, but this is one of the things that stuck in my head. It is here in front of me, but I'm not just trying to read this book and let that be my share. You know, it says we often think of vigilance in almost military terms, as if we were standing watch against incoming hostilities. You know, we've really never looked at it like that before. You know, vigilance just means we're dedicated to our intention. You know, it's not keeping a, to me, that translates into being open-minded and staying open-minded no matter how long I've been here. Not let little things eat at me. Talk to my sponsor if something is bothering me. And there's a few relationships and with the people in my program that I have had to work with my sponsor. I don't know, so a few years ago, maybe half the clean time I had now, I really spent it took a few months and numerous me venting to my sponsor about one individual in particular. And you know, that was then. And so where I was going with that is today, you know, every one of these traditions has been another example of the deeper meaning to me of anonymity than don't say my name. You know, don't say my name might matter. It does matter to some people, but the real meaning behind that, and the most important one to me, is that we're all equal, regardless of, no matter what we're doing, we're equal, you know? And that means I did. Balance is one of these spiritual principles. So I've talked about my advancement in my career, and so I've had to develop some wisdom over the last few years, and how do I carry that we're all equal into the job site where I've been promoted and I'm their boss now? You know, how can I be fair and treat everybody the same if I'm there to tell them what to do and make sure that they get some work done? You know, that's taken some time to grow into, and I don't think I have. I don't know, the first couple of years that I was a foreman, I wasn't able to. I hadn't figured out how to be the boss and still be fair and congenial. And you know, my wife's quick to point out that, you know, sometimes when I share, I've in the past that I've started preaching, or when I'm talking to my son, I start using the dad voice, and it turns people off, you know. So I don't have any guys at work mad at me now, and you know, nobody gets upset, you know, when I tell them to do something, or if I point out that they screwed something up, you know, they pretty much take it with a grain of salt, and we talk about how not to do that again. You know, same way this program works for me. You know, if I made a mistake, you know, what do I need to do different so I can, you know, move forward and not make the same mistake again? To me, this whole entire program is dedicated to not just getting clean and staying clean, but how can I apply this in my everyday life that's going to give me more peace and serenity? And so I'm not all trapped in the squirrel cage at the end of the day. You know, and that's when I fall back on, you know, I take some me time. I take some NA time. You know, I get to process these things today, and I'm a whole lot more calm than I used to be. You know, 5 or 6 years clean, I might have been a little waspy around service commitments and thinking that I was the shit, because I was, you know, I might have had a little bit of attitude, but I didn't take on the commitments by no means to for the prestige that this tradition refers to, you know. But that anonymity, that we're all even, all equal, you know. I'm you know, all of us and almost everybody sitting here, I know, is heavily involved in service, because you're there where I'm at, you know. You're at the same places. You know, every time I see somebody that says, "Man, I ain't seen you in a long time," I was like, "Well, it's because you haven't been where I go," you know. And I don't mean that in a harmful way. I'm not willing to walk away from service by any way, shape, or form. And I'm going to continue. You know, I get so much back from all of that. It keeps me on pace. I'm a bad procrastinator, and I'd like to say that it's gotten better over the years, and I think it has. I believe that, you know, maybe it doesn't apply to as many areas of my life as it used to. That might be fair. And I don't know if that factors into this or not. You know, we're not supposed to lend any name. It's obvious. The obvious one, the treatment centers, you know, facilities. You know, we can't sponsor them because they're not a part of this program, and it's getting more and more difficult for newer people that are so involved with their recovery houses and programs, and they don't understand all this works, You can hear them chatting to the side, or they're the group of them looking across the table, talking to each other, and they can't, they don't even know that they don't know that, that's separate from this. I guess it's a good thing that they found their way into the into these rooms, and with any hope, they will stay here long enough to start picking up on some of these things, and maybe when they get some time under their belt, they'll it'll sink in, and it'll mean more to them. And who better to explain that to the people coming in after them, if by some chance they can get a hold of this like most of us understand it. I used to want to point that out to people, and then I I try to share on occasion that they'll never miss an opportunity to keep my mouth shut. The wisdom from the Serenity Prayer is what tells me when maybe it's to everyone's advantage if I say something. It depends on the delivery that I give it in, most likely. I can't be a Nazi and just scream and yell at people and be on my soapbox at every meeting and every service commitment or subcommittee a meeting. I can't be there just throttling this down people's throats, or they don't want to participate. We're the fellowship in our region is struggling to fulfill commitments. When I first got involved in regional service, there was I don't there was almost no empty positions, and every committee is empty now. I mean, barely a facilitator in some of them. And the people that have been here a lot longer than I have say that it happens. It goes the ebb and flow. It comes and goes. I feel like we're definitely in a low right now of people with willingness. And that's a I'm not going to try to get into that. That's another story. I'm supposed to be talking on this tradition, and I'm not going to go very much longer. One of the things, where did I think I had it up here, this is before the meeting started, and it may have been in what we were just, maybe it was in what we read at the beginning. It basically refers to the fact that, no, there it is, I found it. The money, the property, and the prestige can divert us because each of them can be used to feed self-centeredness, which is we know is the core of our disease, and that's how I accept it. It's not always about what I want, and that's when I'm diverting away from our primary our clear NA message. If I'm too interested in my viewpoint on any given topic or subject we're referring to, and not what the program suggests or intends, then I'm feeding my self-centeredness, and I'm letting that seep into the fellowship. We all know that there's plenty of people that aren't willing to admit what I just talked about, and I have to take them with a grain of salt too, and not and my understanding of these is, I don't have to be the one for them to point that out to. My learning comes from me working my steps and sharing in meetings and talking to my sponsor and asking questions from people that might understand it better than me. We don't have any more tonight, guys. Probably half of what I just shared about may or may not be connected with this tradition. I've since we've been working on these in my sponsorship tree for the last couple of years, that anonymity has been at the forefront of everything. We're all equal, and be nice. We need to be nice to each other. Everywhere in this fellowship, we need to be nice to each other. There's not one place where it says it's okay to let somebody have it. Every one of these traditions, even though it doesn't say it in the tradition itself, it doesn't say it. It doesn't refer to all the stuff we've been talking about, but in a nutshell, every one of them has a lot to do with being nice, and then you can break that down into all the spiritual principles that they suggest for us and attach it to any more of them that you feel like. and it's still the bottom line, you know. And some of this learning we're doing is helping me to navigate how to do that in all the areas of my life. I'm going to let you people, almost everybody sitting here has got more clean time than me, so I'm looking forward to hearing what somebody else has to add to this. Thanks for letting me share.
Thanks, Rich.
Thank you, Rich. That was an awesome job, and I appreciate you stepping up and sharing. We're now going to open the meeting up and hear from others. If you'd like to share, please use the raise a hand button down there. If you all know where it's at, it's down there on the toolbar to be recognized to speak. I want to remind everybody to be mindful of the time. We haven't had no problems with this, so we'll continue to go that. About 8:20, we'll wrap it up. Or if everybody gets done sharing, we'll wrap it up. Who would like to share first? Tradition 6 is our topic. Okay, Tonya, go right ahead. Thank you.
My name's Tonya. I'm an addict.
Tonya?
Yeah, I got to make my hand go away. So I don't so much have something to share as I have questions for others, because, you know, this tradition, it's like so clear, you know, when we read it and when we read about it and, you know, everything's. And then when you go to, like, you know, apply it to like life situations and, you know, real life circumstances and stuff. It's not that there's gray areas, but I just want to be really careful in, you know, my service and in my life. So I'm interested in other people's feedback. So one of the things that my heart and my service is calling me to, is I've been participating in these community coalitions as an interested community member, and I happen to be a member of Narcotics Anonymous, and I feel like Narcotics Anonymous needs to be represented in these community opioid settlement fund task forces that are forming in communities that decide how to spend opioid settlement funds. And I show up just as someone learning, you know, about what's happening in the community, so that I can, you know, take information to and bring information from, you know, the coalitions and into, you know, my community of, you know, recovering addicts and group and that sort of thing. So as a community member, you know, I am not there to like lend the NA name to that organization at all, although it's very important that to me that Narcotics Anonymous be available as a resource to this broader, you know, community task force. To like, for instance, I participated in one meeting of a coalition where there were EMS staff, you know, like paramedics, who did not know that there was such a thing as Narcotics Anonymous. They'd never heard of it before, didn't know we existed. And so to me, that's just not okay. You know, when you've got like people who are dealing, and these are people who are like right there at every, you know, overdose, every fatality, you know, that kind of thing. They're like, you know, present for that. And therefore, you know, the families and that sort of thing. So I know that some PR efforts, for instance, have suggested giving like business cards for the local group, you know, that EMTs can carry with them, so that when they, you know, happen upon, you know, an overdose or something, they can actually just hand this card, you know, to someone, you know, to friends, family, you know, whoever might be there. And I'm just interested in hearing other people's thoughts and feedback about, you know, the intricacies of being a member of Narcotics Anonymous and wanting so much for everyone to have this resource, you know, to know that we exist, to know that we're here, to know how to access, how to find us, how to feel safe to come to a meeting. And yet at the same time, we are not, you know, partnering with or endorsing or, you know, any other outside organization, or having any kind of gray area there as far as, you know, community perception is concerned. So if anybody wants to respond to that, I'd love to hear your thoughts.
Great. Thank you, Tonya. Anybody else like to share? Okay, well, I'm a filler, so I'm Wayne and I'm an addict. I hope everybody else gets themselves ready to share, but I'm gonna fill in for this spot, you know. And one thing that I know I have to remember in situations that Tonya spoke about is I never go alone. And we got a lot of PR efforts that go into these things and take care of things, which is great. You know, back in the past, it was real easy. I mean, I Rich kind of talked about it a little bit. It was real easy for myself to let that go to my head and think I had to share Narcotics Anonymous wherever I was. And I ended up getting addressed on things because I was bringing Narcotics Anonymous into places by myself. You know, I had a business, a recovery business, and if I named the business right now, to me, I'd be violating a tradition because I'd be using Narcotics Anonymous for prestige of the business. Of course, I don't know the business no more, but just as an example, you know, I really had a hard time when I was, when I had my substance abuse program in Wichita and we had a 12-step meeting, Narcotics Anonymous 12-step meeting in the same building next door, which they go all the time. You know, but everybody knew that I was in Narcotics Anonymous. So I had a fine line right there of keeping my business of Recovery Unlimited and Narcotics Anonymous separate. And I had a hard time doing that. I mean, some people walk into the facility and say, well, where's the meeting at? And hi, Wayne, you know, and I struggled with that, and I had to be serious about setting some boundaries in there. I mean, when they paid their own rent and so forth, and it was done correctly to the best of my ability. That's not saying that. I mean, hey, I'll tell you, early. I mean, I brought a lot of business because I was in Narcotics Anonymous and I owned a substance abuse program and I had some time clean. It's like, wow, go there. Wayne goes to Narcotics Anonymous. You might be able to stay clean over there. Now, when I gave up, we had to go to two 12-step meetings a week. I didn't say you go to two meetings in the other room. I say, here's a list, and it had all different types of meetings in there. Now, not that I wouldn't say, knowing the person, I suggest that you go to Narcotics Anonymous because you're an addict. You know, I mean, that, and to me, that would be violating a tradition. I'm pointing next door. So anyway, I had to be careful on the boundaries that I set in that. I think tradition six, and I even get addressed even at the meeting hall here at Westside. You know, I'm getting ready to put a sign up. Oh, don't, you can't put that. You can't put that. I mean, we put all kinds of stuff on sides of buses for people to read. They put Narcotics Anonymous. They put the sign. You know, they say I can't put Narcotics Anonymous in the sign in front. You know, I think there's a fine line to that too, whether I'm violating tradition six, and it does say to protect our primary purpose, and I understand that way more than I used to. I mean, I used to be off on a tangent in probably violating the tradition, and this is before my program and before I bought the business over there. So anyway, tradition six is a valuable tool, and I do apply it in my life, in my home. All right, that's about all I got. I shared enough, and I'm going to pass this over to Rod.
I am an addict. My name is Rod.
Hey, Rod.
And I've just got a couple, two or three things, because I just found out my food's ready, and so I got to go down to my daughter's house. But Richie did an awesome job. One of the things that I wanted to say is that, you know, I own a building, not for very much longer, I hope, but I own a building that a meeting is in. And there was a couple times that I had to correct people that I was not Mr. NA. And I didn't run Narcotics Anonymous. And any and all of that shit, and that's a fine line, and it's a tough row to hoe, Wayne. I agree with you. It is. It's tough. But the reality is that we have to correct that real quick. And to answer Tonya's question, I think it's real good to get that information out there, but we also need to be preparing our groups. That when they come and they say, yeah, hey, the local paramedics, they give me this card, and God, I'm so glad that you guys partner with them. That we're able to talk about how we're not affiliated with them, but we just hope that maybe an addict, any addict, could hear about the meeting of Narcotics Anonymous and come to a meeting. And so I think that it's a great job that you're doing there, Tonya. But again, I think that talking to the meeting hall and the meeting groups and letting them know that when these people come, you know, to let them know that we're not part of the government, the local hospital, so on and so forth. And get them to do that correctly, you know, is a great deal. You know, one of the things that years and years ago that we used to have is we used to have a little paper that hung on the walls that said, if you are contacted by, you know, somebody, these are the steps that you take. And one of the first ones is that you call the regional public relations, public information at that time, person, and let them know that, you know, hey, such and such is asking about Narcotics Anonymous. What would you like for me to do? You know, they had plans out, and they had step by step. People knew about it when they come in. You know, I was educated as a young recovering member that, hey, if this happens, this is what you do. You know, and we've gotten away from that, and we just need to get back to it. So again, I'm out here in Oregon seeing my daughter. Sorry, I have to cut out, but I got to go. I love you all.
Thank you. Let's see. Bobby, you ready to share? Go right ahead. Unmute yourself. There you go.
Hey, everybody. I'm Tim S., recovering addict here in the Norton Freedom of Choice group.
Hey, glad you're here.
And I was actually hoping to get in before Rod signed off and get his number. I've never met anybody else who's owned a building where the NA meetings happen at. And when I first came into recovery about 7 years ago, we were meeting in a very small place that very quickly became incapable of housing the number of addicts coming to the meetings. And my wife and I own some real estate in our little town, and we had half of a commercial building that was open. And one of the biggest problems was not problems, challenges was all the kids that show up, and the other building we were in, the only place they had to hang out was in the hallways, and there were other groups that owned or had leases for those offices, and we were getting complaints and felt we were representing the group poorly. So we ended up moving into this place, and not that it's ever been troublesome, but I've just always felt unsettled because all three of the words in Tradition 6 have interacted with me in one way or the other. We charge a rent. That's money. That's technically our property. And sometimes in group conscience and other logistical discussions, I felt like people were paying me undue heed and even referred to me as the landlord instead of Tim S., an addict. So it was it and sometimes it just made me uncomfortable because I would rather be fully anonymous, especially for new people who came in who weren't part of the necessary decision at the time to move. But being introduced that way or having that, I don't know, extra unfair advantage made me question if people's reactions to like my shares were influenced by that. And I'd really love to just be able to talk with other people who have navigated that and have a mental picture of where I'm supposed to plant my feet on how to think about that. And I have read through the guiding principles and have tried to come to as good an understanding as I could. And luckily our group is really healthy and has a lot of outreach to older timers, even our old timers like Bobby and some other folks help balance it out relatively well, I think. Like there haven't been problems of money or problems of property, but like even now, attendance is down a little bit, and the seventh tradition intake isn't near what it used to be. So we've had to kind of rearrange for them to be fully self-supporting. They voluntarily come and help do snow removal and yard work and stuff at other properties to offset that. But I feel like we're just always playing it as it comes without having a guiding mindset before the issue arises. And so if any of you guys are willing to either text or send me your number, or you wouldn't mind me giving you my number, I'd love for somebody to reach out, kind of tell me your stories and maybe things to avoid. That's the biggest fear is what if something comes up that does become troublesome? How should I go about navigating that? Because this meeting is such a blessing tonight. I was too busy hauling cattle to make it to the regular meeting on time, and I come in and these guys are having this once a month meeting on the exact thing that has been on my mind more than anything. So I'm just looking for help. Yeah, thank the higher power. So that's really all I've got. If anybody can respond to that or wants to send me your number, I'll say mine a couple times, and if you guys want to write it down or save it in notes or whatever,
Probably text it into the chat.
you can text it in the chat. All right, that's really all I've got. I'm just kind of looking for help and guidance. Not that there's been big problems yet, but I would. Most of my recovery has been greatly helped by advance warnings of what will come. And then when it eventually does come, that little bell goes off like, oh, this is what's happening. So I'm texting my number into the chat right now, and then I'll just shut up and listen. And I'm honored to be here for this meeting for the first time, and glad you guys are all here.
Thank you. Glad you're here also. Keep coming back. Okay, Ben.
I'm an addict.
Hi, Ben.
Thank you, brother, for sharing. It was a great share. When we did this tradition Tuesday, because the sponsorship tree, it was odd for me to realize that it could also be applied to me personally, and how it was talking in the guiding principles, how this was applying to me individually, how I can be diverted from property, prestige, and that stuff, and traditions also, and money, how it could divert me personally away from my group and Narcotics Anonymous, period. So that was one of the things that I found with this. Though I have been, you know, I've had to come across this sometimes, a few times in my life, you know, in Narcotics Anonymous. I've been here a few days. So, you know, I've had a few things, instances happen, you know, that I learn through these things. You know, sometimes, you know, money will come in through groups or through region, you know, donations and stuff like that, or outside, you know, and if they were doing the correct things. To touch on a couple subjects, I really do believe that as long as we are not saying Narcotics Anonymous supports so-and-so EMS team, or Narcotics Anonymous supports so-and-so recovery house, Pioneer Group supports Pioneer Group of Emporia, NA supports blah, 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 that is where Tradition 6 comes in at that point in time. As long as we're not doing that, we're putting information out there, which is with what PR is supposed to do, you know, I think we might be okay. That's my personal opinion. I could be wrong. There's some people that might have better influences in here than I do. Tim S., I will reach out to Rod for you and get that information for you, just so you know. My personal opinion with that is that I am a member of the building that Rod is landlord at. And when he's in their rooms, he says he's simply an addict. And when we talk about him at business meetings, we only refer to him as the landlord. We don't actually put his name with the landlord title in business meetings. So it was just he's just anonymously at the landlord. So that's a little bit off of there. Great to be here. Love y'all. With that, I pass.
Thank you, Ben. That was great. Daniel.
I'm Daniel. I'm an addict.
Daniel.
You know, so one of the things here, I'll start with the personal side of it. Tradition 6 for me was introduced to me in a different way in my early recovery, and it was anything that I put in front of my recovery, I will lose. So what that meant to me when I was in early recovery was I can't watch my TV instead of going to the meeting, because then I'll just be watching my TV at the dope man's house, because I'm going to lose my TV because I always lost that shit, you know. And so I can't put my job in front of my recovery. I'll lose my job, you know, because I'll lose my recovery. And so understanding like the simplestness of that concept, that anything that I put in front of my recovery, I will lose, makes me understand why it's so important for me to not allow things to divert what I'm doing here for myself, for my recovery. And then to carry that to the group, it can become so easy for us to, you know, as a group of addicts, we want to do great things. We want to do awesome shit, man. We want to have the meeting with the best espresso or sushi or the best cakes, or we want to have the nicest meeting hall. All of those things get us off track from what we're actually there to do. What we're actually here to do is, you know, I'm not here to have the best looking t-shirt, you know. I'm here to make sure that the door's open, that the message is carried, and that the addicts are getting a message of recovery. And in that, then we add in the part that says we carry a clear message of recovery. You know, oftentimes people want to argue that having a clear message of recovery has nothing to do with our traditions, and we can point to tradition six and we can say, no, it's right here in the literature. We talk about a clear message. We talk about not endorsing other fellowships or carrying other literature into our meetings or reading from other books, or getting on religious tangents. You know, I can even be, you know, like the shirt that I wear to the meeting. You know, like one time I showed up to a meeting in my work attire that I had worked at the time, and somebody thought I was a cop, like, because I was dressed so nice, like I was some sort of detective, you know? And so, like, I learned that, like, I can't necessarily always show up as I am, because sometimes it's distracting. So diversion can be a distraction, right? Like I can use that word interchangeably here and say, you know, what am I doing? What is Daniel's, you know, what are the distractions that happened for Daniel to block or put a wall up against hearing a message of recovery? You know, if I look like a cop, you know, and now I look like a, you know, an old hippie or something. I got long hair and a beard, and you know, so I'm probably not, you know, I'm not in with the young hip hop kids or whatever, but you know, it's okay. I think that, you know, like there's some great stuff in our literature that talks about getting off track and what can happen when we get off track. And the basic text always, you know, it always just puts it plain and simple. When we focus on other things, addicts die. Period. Okay, thank you. I'm sharing. There's my number one distraction. Well, when we allow those things to get us diverted, you know, like the simplicity of what happens here is that addicts can die, you know? And so understanding that, you know, and like, so I can go back to Tanya's question a little bit, just briefly. For me, like I've been asked many times throughout my clean time to share in places that are not, I'm not being asked to speak for Narcotics Anonymous. I'm being asked to share about my recovery, but I'm not there as a representative of NA. I'm not there as an H&I commitment or any sorts of public relations. I'm there because I used to speak at a college every semester to the nursing students and the addictions classes. And you know, like, I just tell my story and I wouldn't mention Narcotics Anonymous. Like, I would just go in there and talk. And I'm sure if you listen to it, you probably heard an NA message, right? But I never mentioned Narcotics Anonymous. And so, like, I understand how those things work and how they tie together. And I think that sometimes when I'm in the right room and things come up, it can be easy for me to suggest something without representing NA. You know, it can be real easy to say, oh, you know, there's this organization's called NA. Maybe we can reach out to them and have them come do a presentation. And then I don't have to be the one that comes and does the presentation to out myself as the member of Narcotics Anonymous. But, you know, that can be a way to just kind of drop our name in the doorway, you know, and then maybe something happens from that, you know. And I think that there's oftentimes there's a benefit to public relations for being there. But, you know, our literature reminds us that we don't do anything by ourselves for accountability reasons and all that stuff, you know. And but it is also important that we're not secret. And we have to let people know that we're here, or else addicts, again, might die because they don't hear a message to recovery. They don't find out that there's NA. And we can collaborate. We can cooperate. We can do all those things. We just have to be clear that, you know, where the affiliation is and where endorsement is, you know. And, you know, our home group here in Salina, or my home group here in Salina, Phoenix Group, meets at Recovery Cove, and everybody just calls it Recovery Cove. You know, going to the meeting at Recovery Cove tonight, you're going to Recovery Cove. And it's constantly something that you have to remind new people, middle recovery people, you know, that Recovery Cove is not Narcotics Anonymous. Recovery Cove is just the sign on the building. You know, it has nothing to do with NA. It's not NA. And, you know, and it can even get muddied in our business meeting because somebody wants to bring up, what we need to do to fix the carpet or whatever. And I'm like, well, you need to, if we have a concern, we need to take it to the Cove, because it's not us. We're not going to fix the carpet. It's not our building. And then, Daniel's always the asshole because he brings the traditions up and it never works out well for anybody else. So, yeah, that's all I got. Thanks, guys.
Thank you, Daniel. That was good. All right, let's see. We got another hand. Regina.
Hey, family. Thank you. Hey, I'm Regina. I work for Recovering Addict.
Hi, Regina.
Thank you for this meeting. You guys are to Kansas City? Is that what it is or no? I'm not sure. It's my first time
Mid-America
here.
region.
You're what now?
Mid-America region.
Which is okay, you're from Mid-America. Okay,
Yeah.
well, hello, Mid-America. I'm Regina from Chicago. So thank you, Rich, so much for your lead. I got a lot out of your message about the tradition. You spoke a lot about spiritual principles, which is what I always look for in our literature, right? Here in Chicago, I'm big on H&I. I've been doing H&I ever since I had 6 months clean, right? The predecessors here, they don't care. You get clean time, you're going to do service, period. They put you in the car, you're doing it, right? And I'm grateful for that though. Because I feel like I'll do H and I until I can't move anymore, right? In fact, we're doing an H and I virtual prison meet right now that we're trying to get off and running in our area, the Midwest area. They're already doing it in Ohio, Colorado, and I think Arizona and some other place. But it's a beautiful thing. But we're talking about the traditions. I love our traditions, right? They say our steps keep us from committing what? Suicide, and our traditions keep us from committing homicide, right? And the concepts, they teach you how to navigate in your service efforts. Here in Chicago, we do a 12, 12, and 12 monthly workshop, kind of like this, where we talk about the step, tradition, and the concept, and we get three different speakers. So I always look to learn about traditions. Here in Chicago, I'm a part of our regional subcommittee for HIPE, which is, H&I and public relations. We combine the committee. And we do a lot of PR as far as going, putting up posters, doing billboards. It's okay. We are not a secret society. People need to know we are here because people are dying. And they need to know Narcotics Anonymous exists. We talk about personal anonymity. That means I can't be up on a billboard, you know what I mean, representing Narcotics Anonymous, but we can put up billboards. We also do the poster drives. We was talking to Tonya about her efforts, and we also give out folders to police stations, fire stations, hospitals. Right now, we're doing a drive where we're trying to put a Narcotics Anonymous book in every library in certain areas. We're doing book drives for that. But we had a meeting here, a facility that wanted to use NA. They were passing out flyers saying it wasn't an NA meeting, but they were saying come and hear an NA speaker, an AA speaker, and they wanted to pay the speakers $25 to speak. We was like, wait a minute, hold up. They breaking all kind of traditions there, right? First of all, we don't pay our members. We do that on our free time. We give of our service. Second of all, you're lending our name to your facility, and we can't do that. Because if your facility break bad, all they're gonna look at is Narcotics Anonymous. They're not gonna look at that facility, period. Or just like if they wanted to, I go to the jails here on Saturdays. They can't say that this meeting is the meeting from that facility. It's just we're just coming in to give and carry a message, period. Clear cut message about Narcotics Anonymous, where people can find us. As a matter of fact, I had one of the ladies call me tonight. She's been clean for 2 years. She's been out of jail for 2 years. That when you get that type of call, your effort and your time is so worth it, right? carrying this message and people are actually listening to us. It's all so worth it. You know, I just wanted to share that a little bit because I'm about to eat it. My grandkids are here. So thank you for letting me share, guys. And remember, we do it every other Thursday, 12, 12, and 12. If somebody on here would like to share for December, we'll be doing a 12 step, 12 tradition, and a 12th concept. Thank you for letting me share. Love you guys.
Regina, how'd you find out about us here?
I saw the flyer.
Okay.
Awesome. In a website. So you said awesome. You put it on NAWS website? This meeting?
We've got it on the Mid-America Region website.
Okay. Yeah, somebody posted on one of our Facebook websites.
Okay, here. Yeah, it's all over social media. Right. So that's good. Thank you.
Good job. It's getting out there, right?
If you want to put your number up here, nobody knows how to get a hold of you.
Okay. I sure will. You can always reach us at chicagona.org, too. Okay. Our website is full of public relations and H&I stuff. Okay.
Thank you. Okay. Appreciate you, Regina. That was great having outside there. Joe, go ahead.
My addict named Joe. Man, I hope this kind of relates to your question, Tanya. I know our area has some literature racks and like probation offices and some treatment centers and police station, I believe. And we provide some meeting lists to a bunch of different places like, you know, treatment centers and that. And kind of going along with that, I meant I was in a business meeting one time and somebody brought up the idea about us, about NA, the area, getting a hold of some Narcan and passing that out. We're going like, no. We do not want to get involved with that. No, we do not want to be affiliated with that. That is a distinct diversion from our message. And, you know, although it's a nice, you know, it would be a nice, useful thing maybe for that to be available to more and more people. But it's not something that we should be involved in. Just like I was a member of an activities committee for a while, and somebody suggested that we do a clothing drive for people that are, you know, indigent and not stuff, and going like, no, that's a diversion. You know, we don't want to, you know, it's a admirable thing to do to, you know, get some clothing and whatnot for people that are indigent, but no, that's not our primary purpose, and we need to stick to that. And kind of where the first experience that I had with the with this tradition was years ago, a meeting that I frequented quite often. Their building had some plumbing issues. They had some leaking pipes and whatnot, and it was brought up at the group's business meeting that they should raise some funds to help the facility, you know, fix some of the physical problems that they had there. And it was pointed out, no, we do not finance the building. That's up to them. You know, if they get what do you call it, condemned where you no longer can use a facility, then we'll just have to move. You know, and we have a group in Topeka that has done some fundraising and stuff to do capital improvements and capital repairs to the facility where they meet. And when somebody asked me, and I didn't like hearing about it. It was like, oh, gosh. And then I was kind of torn, you know, do I bring it up to somebody? And finally, I was there one time and somebody mentioned it to me, and I'm going like, no, that shouldn't be, you guys shouldn't really be doing that. You know, that you're financing this other outside organization here. So that's probably not a good thing to be doing. And they also have a sign out in front of their building, and it has their, you know, the organization that owns the building's name on it. And on their sign, they have NA prominently displayed on their sign. And I'm going, I'm kind of torn, you know, to, should I contact World Services and notify them that, hey, there's this building here that is advertising NA, you know, that NA meets there, and it's out in public, you know, it's a publicly displayed sign. And I'm kind of torn. I've talked to some people about it, and nobody can give me a real definite answer, or nobody has given me a real definite answer on that. You know, and then, you know, personally, like when I've been asked to share and stuff, when I talk about, you know, that I went to treatment, I don't mention the treatment facility. And then I say, you know, that I went to treatment, and I will go ahead and mention that the two main things I got out of treatment was, is I got the disease concept of addiction, and I got introduced to 12-step programs, and I chose this one. You know, if I'm at an NA meeting, I chose NA, you know, because that's where I felt at home. And it kind of makes me cringe at times when people will talk about, you know, living in a sober living house or whatever, and they'll give the name of the place or whatever, and other people that are there that are alumni of the place will be, oh yeah, you know, whatever, and I just kind of cringe, going like, oh man, you know, it just kind of gets to me. Yeah, so I've heard a bunch of good things there. Thank you, Rich, for your sharing. I got some good out of that. And Tanya, I hope that maybe that gave you a little bit of an indication. My area is real fortunate now. We have, for the first time in several years, we have a PR person that is just getting started and gonna answer a bunch of these questions. And he is a past regional PR chair. So I'm going like, yay, all right. You know, we get to get some more education on a lot of the issues that are revolve around the sixth tradition, you know. So anyway, that's all I got. Thanks for letting me share.
Thank you, Joe. All right, Tonya.
Hi, my name's Tonya. I'm an addict. Yeah, Joe, I'd love to know who is your PR chair, and I'd love to be in touch with them. Is your area, which area are you? Because I think there's two areas in your location there.
Actually, we finally reconciled and merged back. So
the
Topeka area now has one area instead of two.
Okay.
We can talk after the meeting.
Okay, we can talk afterwards. So anyway, what I wanted to say was that, you know, in response to your comment about giving out Narcan, that's you know, that is like an issue. But I have heard of many groups recently, both within our region and just, you know, across the country, who have done Narcan training in their groups. And, you know, the general feeling, obviously, the group conscience in those groups is that it is not a tradition violation, and they feel, you know, to do that. I don't know. I mean, my group hasn't dealt with this, but it's something that is being addressed, I think, by many groups, you know, in a lot of places. So I just wanted to say that. And then I also just wanted to say, because I hadn't said it before, that I so appreciate Rich jumping in there on like virtually no notice and having, you know, Rich, for me, you know, not only can talk about traditions, but, you know, he lives them and is an example, you know, for us in terms of his service and his willingness and also just those spiritual principles that he shared, that, you know, for me, those are just the core of the traditions and what, you know, if you just distill it down, that's what it's about for me with the traditions, is what spiritual principles are, you know, applying here. And I really appreciated that, you know, humility. For me, the humility and the open-mindedness are just really key for this tradition. You know, I'm learning a lot tonight, and, you know, I always do learn a lot when I get together with my you know, fellow addicts, and I'm really grateful for you all and for this meeting. Thank you.
Thank you, Tom. Did you read on the chat what it said, everybody? It's clear that a sinner's using our name inappropriately if they advertise that they provide NA services. When an NA meeting is listed in the bulletins, flyers, or signs, or a facility, on the other hand, they may simply be making it easier for addicts to find us. Throughout group discussion on the issue can help us arrive at the decision and determine how to communicate effectively and appropriately. We may simply ask the meeting facility that lists the NA meeting in their schedule to do so in a way that makes it clear we're not affiliated. Vigilance and democracy helps us to protect the NA name while also maintaining the cooperative relationship that are so important to our survival. I mean, you know, putting them on the side of a bus, you know, we're cooperating with the company to put that on there. And I've heard before, you know, putting that on there is violating the sixth tradition, but in reality, it's just letting people know where we're at. I mean, PR, I hear people, they used to tell me, you know, I can't go to PR and share Narcotics Anonymous. Well, we're not out there preaching and telling them they have to come. We're showing them where we're at. You know, and sometimes there is a fine line in that, to me, that I see people sometimes. I mean, actually, we do a thing at the third Thursday up on the street, and I see there's another, it's a God thing, and they're out there preaching the story, and they need to come there, blah, 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 and they work the 12 steps, you know. But that's a violation of their traditions, but they don't, if they even have any on that, I don't know. But, you know, I'm not out there, or we aren't out there calling people over and preaching and telling them they need to come there and promoting, you know, but here I think in this chat, we're kind of saying, maybe it was to Joe. I mean, if somebody puts the name up there, and let them know where there's a meeting in the building, maybe we are cooperating with them and not affiliation. I don't, that's just a thought that I had, and that's what I did. I mean, Recovery Unlimited said living clean, and it was in the building of the treatment center, but we was just cooperating. We wasn't affiliated with, but they had a list of NA on the door. The other door, but it was still connected to the building. So anyway, that's all I got. Anybody else got anything? All right. Well, I just looked and I'm running out of time. So if nobody else has anything, let's see. We're at. Oh, that's all the time we have tonight. We're going to do a few announcements. We just had RSC this past weekend. The next RSC will be February 14th and 15th. Subcommittees meet Saturday and business meets Sunday. We need people. Try to get involved if you can. As you can see on the screen, there are many opportunities to get involved and be of service at our region. We could sure use help carrying the message of NA throughout our region. And as you see that, my gosh, that's a huge list. We have a convention here. It's going to be our 41st annual. It's just around the corner in April of next year. The dates are April 24th through 26th. 2026, and it will be held in Topeka, Kansas, at the Hotel Topeka. There are many opportunities of service on the convention committee, and even opportunity to be a general member, which only has a clean time of 60 days. So if you feel like getting involved there, feel free to do so. Come to region and sit in the subcommittees and get involved. They need you. And then we have a camp out committee. There it is. Now is a great time to get involved and help shape the next year's camp out. We did get a theme and it's service. The camp out's next year. We need some people on the committee. So hey, if you like to have fun, come on and get involved. And then let's see, join us again next month on the 7th tradition. Remember, this will be December the 18th at 7 o'clock. It's the third Friday. That's Central Time. If you have feedback for the format or you have an idea for a speaker, get a hold of Daniel, put it out there in the committee. But we do have speakers for, I think, the next 3 months. So I'm pretty grateful about that. And thank you all again for attending. We hope to see you back next month and many more. There's a flyer right there that's posted. Let's join and feel free to unmute yourself for the third step prayer. Whose gratitude?
My gratitude speaks when I care, when I share with others in any way. Take my will in my life, guide me in my recovery, show me how to live.
There we go.
Thank awesome. You guys for your service. Good job.
Yeah. All right. Hey, thank you. Appreciate
it. Is this a Monday workshop?
Pardon me?
Yes, ma'am.
It's a weekly
monthly. We do it monthly.
Okay. So next month will be the 7th tradition?
Yes. Correct. Each month will be the next one until we get through 12.
And okay. There's a flyer posted in the chat you can download.
Yeah, we just... Did you see that? You see that flyer in chat?
Yeah.
That's it, and it's going to be the third Thursday of next month because of Christmas. And then we'll go back to the fourth, I'm sure.
How do we find your 12, 12, and 12 meeting?
Yeah.
So, okay, let's see. It's the second Thursday every month. Give me my phone. I don't know how to download flyers, but we do have flyers. I'll send you the flyer.
Okay. Hey, I'm going to text you. I got your number. I'm going to text you. That way you can send me that flyer.
Okay. Will do. And I'll pass yours around too. Yep. Thank you guys. Good
Thank
night.
You.
Hey, Tanya.
Yeah.
I just put a number in your chat, private to you, of a lady who's doing a bunch of work with homeless people.
Yes.
And she has to deal with this on a daily basis, this tradition.
Yes. Thank you.
I'm sure you might know her because she's the Martina chair.
Yes, I do know her. I know her really well. So
and so she works with a whole bunch of, going out in the encampments where the homeless people are.
Right.
And providing them with services and stuff, and she has to walk a fine line.
Right.
So you might get some feedback from her about that.
Yeah, I will talk to her about it because I know she's doing all of that kind of work and stuff. So yeah, I'd love to hear more. And glad to know that you have a PR chair and that's happening there. Not every area has a PR chair, so I'm just trying to reach everybody, that does. So
yeah, we went for years with none here in Topeka area. And the area now is called the Never Alone Fellowship.
Right. Okay. Great. Thanks, Joe.
Sure.
Hi, Chris.